Our gospel reading brings us to the foot of the cross to see Jesus with his arms of love stretched out on the hardwood of that cross that the whole world might come within the reach of his saving embrace. And even as Jesus is there being crucified, he looks out and he offers forgiveness to those who are killing him. And in that act, he's challenged to prove that he is the Messiah and the King by saving himself. And for those of us reading 2 millennia later, we get the dramatic irony that is only in not saving himself that Jesus will save us. Those present at the crucifixion who knew the scripture best failed to see what God was doing through Jesus. Rather than standing over the creation and judgment, God came in the second person of the Trinity and entered into creation in the strangest of ways, in weakness. Coming to a poor woman in Galilee, and soon after he is born, his family were on the road as refugees in Egypt. As the great champion of our faith, Athanasius, put it, he became like we are that we might become like he is. Jesus loved us so much that when the cost of that love was suffering and death, he would not give up on us. Through his death on the cross, Jesus broke the power of sin and death that we might have forgiveness and eternal life. And yet, in the very act of it, the only one who sees rightly is a thief dying on the cross next to him. He sees and knows that this is the sinless one condemned to death, and he's not hearing words of judgment and condemnation, but of forgiveness, and he wants that as well. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The thief, while the other one's deriding him, he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Amazing to know, right? I mean, right then, that this kingdom is coming. This is the point where everybody else is saying it's over, it didn't happen. And the thief gets it rightly. When you come into your kingdom. Such unlikely words of faith. So how is that possible? What makes that perception happen? I was praying about that this week and wondering about the connection. And a line from a favorite book of mine, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry's The Little Prince, was really right there. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Only the heart can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. And it kind of got in there where I was thinking about that line because it seems so like what's happening here. And then I decided to get the book back and look through it and see. And what I saw was really quite amazing to me that I thought brought more in. And I want to share that journey with you a little bit. If you don't know the book, The Little Prince is a fable. And in it, there's a little prince who lives on an asteroid no bigger than a house, 3 volcanoes, 2 live, 1 extinct. And on that little planet, a flower, unlike any in the universe, a little vein, okay, a lot vein. And he cares for the flower, he takes care of it all the time. But the flower is always saying how I was there, I was born the moment the sun came into being, and I'm the most magnificent of my kind in the entire galaxy and so on. And, it's a small planet, really, the asteroid. And the prince leaves. And in the story, there's a number of things that happen as he travels around. But he comes to Earth, and on Earth, he goes to a garden. And in the garden, he finds, well, a lot of roses. And they look exactly like the one back home. And he feels a little bad for it, that it doesn't know that it's really not special at all. Not unique. He felt sad. It was about then that he met a fox. And he comes to tame the fox. Fox telling him, to you I'm nothing more than a fox like 100,000 other foxes, but if you tame me, well then we'll need each other. And he does that. They come close to each other each day and they come to play together. And then the time comes for the little prince to leave. And the fox tells him, go look at the roses again. The little prince went away to look at the roses. The writer says, you're not like my rose at all, he says. As of yet, you are nothing. You're beautiful, but you're empty, he went on. One could not die for you. And I read that line. And I thought, what's going on here? The prince says, "To be sure, an ordinary passerby would think that my rose looked just like you, the rose that belongs to me. But in herself, she is more important than all the other roses in all the gardens in the galaxy, because it is she that I watered, she that I put under a glass globe, she that I sheltered behind a screen, she that I took the caterpillars off, except for the ones that I let grow up to be butterflies. She that I listened to when she grumbled or boasted, or even sometimes when she said nothing, because she is my rose." And he went back to meet the fox. "Goodbye," he said. "Goodbye," said the fox. "And now here is my secret, a very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye." "What is essential is invisible to the eye," the little prince repeated, so that he would be sure to remember. Okay, so we have our gospel reading. We have this passage from the little prince, and I want to see if I can weave this a little together, because I think it does help me see, anyway, the crucifixion in another light. Jesus came into the world as a different kind of Messiah than we wanted. People wanted stern judgment, setting the world aright, and Jesus came in not in a rush to bring on the end of times, but to come and love and show compassion and mercy and forgiveness and healing, to be with us. God's plan was so much more loving than what people were expecting. And Jesus looked with compassion on those around him. The only harsh words he had were for those who were judging others, usually the religious elite who would look down on someone. Jesus, who would see the person no one else saw and love them. For the hurting people, Jesus brought hope and healing and redemption and brought them into community. Now, Jesus would not have bothered to live, suffer, and die as one of us unless he loved us so. It's the care and attention that God lavishes on you that makes you special. To the God who formed you, to the God who loves you, to the God who listens when you grumble or boast or say nothing, to the God who has cared for you always, you are unique and special. To be sure, you're unique and special just like everybody else. But here's the thing. No matter what you have done, you are made in the image and likeness of God, and you have not marred that image and likeness so much that you are beyond the power of the cross to redeem. God loves you as you are, and loves you so much that he doesn't always really want to leave us as we are. Because I'm kind of a project, you know. And you probably are too. Now, all of this could be just sort of nice words and we leave and it doesn't mean a whole lot, but I want to kind of sort of connect it to some things recent in the life of this church to see if maybe that may help us to see. Because I think what we're trying to do, if you can't see rightly with your eyes and it's only with the heart that you see what's invisible, then you're trying to switch your focus from here to here, and it's not always so easy. And it's moving beyond head knowledge to something deeper. And I want to give you just a couple of brief examples. The World Vision Experience truck was parked here in September, and it was designed to give you new eyes to see the refugee experience, to really enter into the insurmountable problems of refugees worldwide. It could really fill you with despair to see the big problem in the world. But the way you move from seeing that to really seeing with your heart is to see four people whose lives were touched by this church. And when you see what's in the truck and get a sense for the despair of being trapped in a camp, really not able to go home, not able to be, and to come here with the eyes of your heart, you can see how much that welcome meant. And then, therefore, how much it means to the Bhutanese Christians once trapped in Nepal, not able to go back to Bhutan, not able to move forward, to be here as the Church of the Holy Faith, and what that means to worship in this place. With the eyes of my heart, not despair, but real hope, a lasting difference. And then, one more. The puzzle that sat in the labyrinth coming together in recent weeks, frustratingly slowly, perhaps. Frustratingly slowly for the rector, perhaps. Less so for people who didn't put their puzzle piece in. Because that's it, right? I mean, so it's an image of the church and a helpful one. As you see your piece coming together alongside others and see yourself literally knit into the body of Christ. But what does it mean when there's blank spaces, missing pieces? Who are they? What's going on? What? But that's with my eyes. And what is essential is invisible to the eyes. It's only with the heart that I can see rightly. And to see that, well, there's some things that you can say. One, it is true in the life of any church that there are people who have been a part of it who for any given reason aren't a part of it right now. That just happens. But that's because a church is touching a lot of lives over time. And you're there for people when they need it and making a difference. And they're still knit into this body, just not in the same way. Maybe they will be again. But what I see is this, that the ministry here week by week is something that really can only be measured in some sort of eternal time scale. And I give you an example. I mean, these past few days, I've been here and seen the Fig offering overflowing gracious hospitality to more than 400 people. As your rector said, 70 volunteers making this happen. And even more important, I think, in a lot of ways, at a conference, you can have, well, conference worship, which is sort of short shrift and just fitting it in around the edges. And to be able to worship here, to have a Eucharist with your choir and our presiding bishop, and to really worship. That takes a conference that's really talking about Jesus and allows you to experience our risen Lord in worship. And that is no small thing. That is life-giving. And I heard from so many conference participants how important it was to be here for both of those things. The amazing hospitality and also the just wonderful, life-giving worship. And that tells my heart that what this church has done that is of eternal significance is much bigger than could fit in the whole labyrinth if we filled it with puzzle pieces. There's all sorts of ways that lives have been touched, and with my heart I see that we can't even begin to account for them. If we stop looking at the world with our eyes and look with our hearts, we see that God is already making all things new. As the fox told the little prince, it's only with the heart you can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye, as it was that day when Jesus was dying on the cross, offering forgiveness, even as he was being put to death. And in that really showed himself to be the Messiah and the King of Kings. We know that with that death, he saved us all. And through your lives, as you leave this place, nourished by word and sacrament, and you go through your daily life, being in some way Jesus for other people, the ministry of this church goes out. And the ministry that happens here and the ministry that this enables is so big as God is making all things new. And if you don't see it, well, try looking with your heart. Amen.